I'm Hillary McClure, Multimedia Director at Cybercrime Magazine. I'm here today with Lauren Bean Biuta, founder and CEO of Girl Security. Girl Security is a nonpartisan 501c3 that is closing the gender gap in national security through learning, training, and mentoring for girls and young women. To learn more about Girl Security, visit girlsecurity.org. Lauren, welcome. It's so great to have you with us today.
Thank you so much for having me. I appreciate it.
Of course. And so, Lauren, to start off, you have a background in security and law. So do you want to share with our listeners a little bit about your career that led you to where you are today?
Absolutely. I graduated from Boston College right after the terrorist attacks of September 11th. And I'm originally from the Midwest. I returned to Illinois to work in what I guess I thought was international security. But as one might expect, there were few opportunities to work in national security and foreign policy in Illinois at the time. But luckily, I was hired by a national security think tank. It was actually one of the oldest in the country. It had been founded by Donald Rumsfeld, I think in the late 70s, early 80s. And so I started working on national security issues from the kind of policy legal perspective. And at the same time, my brother was deployed to Iraq. And so I was working and learning about a lot of national security issues, studying things like the AOMF, the Patriot Act. And at the same time, I had this very personal investment in what was happening in Iraq at the time. And so that kind of started the idea for Girl Security, because I recognized, being in the Midwest, that there was a huge disconnect between what I was listening to and the discourse I was engaged in Washington, from what I was seeing among my peers. And Security's, you know, one of its core missions is a public education perspective of empowering girls civically to engage in national security discourse and to become acclimated with national security policy and legal issues. And then, of course, as a woman in national security, I remained one of few for many years. And there were initiatives at the time when I was young, so this was about 20 years ago, to try to close the gap. But I think there was just a sustainability problem. And so in 2016, I decided to start Girl Security to close the gender gap, because at that time, even though I had the idea 15 years ago, there still hadn't been an organization that created intentional pathways and visibility and highlighted women role models for girls. So that was the kind of genesis of Girl Security about 3 years ago.
Okay, great. And so in founding Girl Security in 2016, you were kind of delivering on those needs that you'd been identifying throughout the course of your career.
Absolutely. And I think there's no question that I was delivering on the needs. And then as part of my background, which was a bit of a detour, I worked with a wonderful mentor who passed away in April, Albert Hanna.
I'm sorry.
So thank you. He was wonderful, but he gave me the opportunity to work on a lawsuit against the city of Chicago. It was a whistleblower lawsuit alleging civil rights violations. Mm. And I spent a great deal of time leading a team of analysts to really expose how racism had become systemic as part of this particular process. And so having had that experience really catalyzed me to start Girl Security, because it was the recognition that change takes time, right, and that while it might be too late for current generations, you know, of women either my age or just up and coming, we can do a lot to change the tide for girls today. And of course, 2016 was just an appropriate time to start it.
Absolutely. And so Girl Security's, your mission is to close the gender gap, as you mentioned, in national security by empowering girls and young women with knowledge, practical training, and placement. What are the programs that Girl Security offers?
Absolutely. So we have what we call our C model, which is secure, empower, and advance. And so the secure piece is securing with information. So we work with women national security practitioners to develop learning modules, which either we deliver in the classroom as part of our program, or kind of that's a program that's evolving this year amid the pandemic, is training teachers to integrate national security into the classroom. And that is really an effort to normalize the discourse around national security, specifically within, you know, social studies, civics, even computer sciences. The empower piece are training. So we conduct workshops, games, conflict de-escalation, war games that take very high level training skills that most even women in senior positions don't have access to, or which remain very highly male dominated, and we scaffold those for girls. Prior to the pandemic, those are conducted in person, but we've been successfully conducting those virtually over the last several months. And then our mentor network, which is really just, I think one of, first of all, it's the reason the organization has been able to reach as many girls as it has, but it's also really the core of the work. We have a phased mentor program. And so we pair girls and young women with a mentor one step ahead of them. So as they move from high school, if college or career, they have this kind of network of support, almost like a mentor circle around them that provides them with very important support, information, tools, insights. Our mentors go really above and beyond to work with our mentees as part of the program.
That's fantastic. And I think that sometimes that's hard to find, that mentorship, right? So it's really great that that's an integral part of what Girl Security is doing to help kind of, it can be intimidating to ask someone, will you be my mentor?
Yeah, so. It can be. And I had one of my first mentors, Suzanne Spalding, who's also on our board, you know, she was probably the only female mentor that I had in the space. And the impact of her visibility on me was very significant. And so to kind of create this both vertical and horizontal network of women is very empowering. And it's very informal. You know, we, of course, provide guidelines and we'll be conducting mentor trainings and things like that. But really, it creates a safe and supportive space to both ask questions that you might otherwise be intimidated to ask, or to figure out what the right questions are to ask, which I feel like that's really the hard part when you come into a field like this, is you don't know the questions to ask. And right. So it can spare you a lot of just grief and whatever else by having someone trusted work with you on that as well.
And so what are the primary ages of girls and young women that, you know, participate in Girl Security?
Sure. So as part of our onboarding process for mentees, it's high school through college.
Okay.
So our mentees average, you know, 16 through 21, 22. With respect to our kind of secure with information piece, we're working with middle and high school aged girls across the country. So, but of course, we don't onboard mentees that early.
Okay, right. That makes sense. And so at the end of August, Girl Security launched A Girl's Guide to Election Security, which is an online guide for girls, parents, schools, and communities on understanding why election security matters to our democracy and national security, as well as how to identify and report disinformation. What kind of content does this course, you know, the guide or courses, I understand it, include?
It's a really wonderful guide. I have to say I'm very proud of it for a couple of reasons. It's multi-generational, so it includes input from teenagers as well as senior level practitioners. It's also multidisciplinary. We really wanted to be able to demonstrate how girls' personal security is so deeply interwoven with national security, and to really demonstrate to them how things they can do every day in their personal lives to secure themselves can actually, in the aggregate, contribute to national security, as well as the security of our democracy through our elections and electoral integrity. And so the kit provides a real balance of learning content, as well as approaches, social emotional learning, trauma-informed approaches to provide something for everyone. So there are more intensive levels of disinformation training, as well as coloring activities for, you know, middle school age girls to start thinking about simply the connection between personal and national security, or simply the idea of how do we secure our elections and what do secure elections mean to our democracy. And then there's also a balance of mentoring videos by women practitioners in national security who are leading on election security, as well as career and other resources, mental health resources, more specifically cybersecurity resources. And so it's a very holistic guide designed to provide something for everyone.
That's great. And that's, from my research, that's pretty easily accessible for everyone on Girl Security website, correct?
It is. It's girlsecurity.org/girlsguide. And then you're linked to a wonderful curriculum template that we use. It's free to everyone. It's also downloadable to print. You know, we had quite a few people who and might not have access to, or at least the internet to sustain working through the whole curriculum online. And then now we're also working with libraries to make hard copies available because we do serve populations that don't have access to technology.
Okay. That's great. That's good to know. And I really liked reading and learning that the guide is, and you touched upon this, it's informed by adolescent mental health experts, and this is, you know, National Mental Health Month in September. Yes. So that's, do you want to speak just quickly about that?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, it's really important. I mean, but national security feels scary anyway.
Right.
When in fact at Girl Security, you know, we try to manage risk perception through a lot of the work we do because the threats in national security aren't imminent, as most threats aren't. Mm-hmm. The personal security threats are oftentimes scarier. And so we don't want to induce unnecessary fear for girls, but also through distance learning, we have to try to anticipate that girls might have experiences that have shaped their security perceptions that are traumatic or destabilizing. And so we really work with a team of adolescent mental health specialists to ensure that the way that we frame these topics is scaffolded for different age groups and is also sensitive to not only the specific trauma of any individual girl, but also the context of the pandemic, which we know from our work at Girl Security is creating all of these additional layers of stress, anxiety, and exposure for girls who spend, at least in our program, they spend 8 to 10 hours on their phone or technology.
Right.
And so they're having many different impacts that require us to frame our content specifically for their age group informed by their experiences.
And so Craig Newmark Philanthropies recently donated $50,000 to Girl Security to help fund a new nationwide after school program with the National Girl Security Council. So what will that after school program teach girls and young women?
Absolutely. We're extremely grateful to Craig Newmark Philanthropies for the generous grant.
Yeah.
And this is something that girls have been asking for some time. And so it really provided us with the opportunity also again during the pandemic to further our mission, which is really to amplify girls' voices. So as a part of the National Girl Security Council, girls become kind of the shepherds of their voices on national security topics. So we have a pretty broad range of topics this year. It will begin with election security because we do want to emphasize that the challenges around our elections, as well as disinformation, aren't situational. In other words, these are challenges that will endure. And so we want to ensure that girls have the context and tools that they require to adapt to what will be likely an unstable next year. And then we're also integrating a lot of our skills-based trainings on things like ethical hacking, predictive analysis, congressional briefing, using different skills like narratives, creative fiction, gameplay. So we're combining the topics of skill building that we conduct normally in the physical setting with some of the kind of fun play that we integrate into our online curriculum. And so the program will offer 1 to 2 hours of learning each month for girls. And we already have, I think, about 15 schools across the country signed up. So this is a pilot initiative, but it's off to a really great start.
That's fantastic. And you mentioned disinformation again, and actually we spoke with Kyla Guru recently, who was a disinformation research intern at Girl Security. And we had a really great conversation with her about getting girls and young women interested in exploring STEM careers. And with women in tech and women in cyber being such important issues for our nation, how do you think we can continue to help that momentum and ensure that we are encouraging girls in middle school, you know, kind of where that we start to think about, what do I want to do with my life? How do we continue to foster that, those desires to, you know, because we can kind of fall out of STEM career paths easily?
I mean, it's one of the primary principles that we exercise. You know, we kind of talk about the missing S in STEM as security. And girls can be introduced to security discourse very early on. You know, as we say at Girl Security, society creates this very interesting catch-22 for girls. which is that they're told to be afraid of everything, but society fails to protect them from most things. So girls from a very young age develop a security aptitude. You know, we're, if I reflect back to being a girl, but even as women, we're in a constant state of securing ourselves. And so we try to emphasize that girls have this security aptitude that they exercise already. And so we really try to advance a discourse among girls sooner to integrate security learning, to talk about security, to widen their security lens, especially with respect to the digital domain, where from a national security practitioner perspective, you know, practitioners will refer to the digital domain as, you know, the future of information warfare. Well, that's also the space where girls and adolescents spend much of their time. And so for girl security, we think from an educational perspective, a discourse on security sooner is better. From a career perspective, you know, there's no question that at the kind of elementary high school levels, national security is not a career path for girls. It's not on the menu.
Right.
And that's been our experience over and over. So I think, again, just normalizing a discourse around national security, elevating the women in the field to a more visible level, and also prioritizing gender inclusion, of course, into national security is required as well.
Absolutely. And girl security, you have so many great resources available to girls, young women, and then parents, of course. What other resources are available to parents to start to, you know, because parents, you know, usually start having that conversation about what different careers are. And we spoke to Kyla about this because she was interested in cyber from such a young age. But what else can parents be doing and thinking about and learning about to help foster and nurture that interest?
I think it's a wonderful question. And I really think, and I draw a little bit from my own experience, which is to say, my parents were always very mindfully including me in activities where women were not represented or supporting my interest. You know, I wanted to play football. I worked construction through college. You know, when I wanted to go into national security, my mom was like, what is this thing you're talking about? And I think she was actually like kind of afraid. And so I think there's just the basic idea of kind of mindfully integrating roles or fields that women, where women are underrepresented, which I think is more of a common, I think that's kind of more widespread now as well.
Right.
But I also think part of it is just ensuring girls or building girls' confidence in their ability to be agents of their security, which they are every single day. And I think it's important to also recognize, and we see a lot of this with girl security, and we're studying this closely, is the idea that, you know, girls are more likely to be targeted, especially girls of color, right, by disinformation. They're also more likely to have misinformation shared about them. They're three times more likely to be cyberbullied. Yeah. They exist in this very vulnerable digital domain. And I think something that as a parent of my own children to be mindful of is because girls spend so much time in this digital space, and because of the heightened percentages of threats that they face as simply by being girls, how might this shape their broader perceptions of the physical space? How might these things start to translate and impact their self-esteem? And so in my mind, you know, if you talk about cybersecurity or disinformation, it's really just expanding the discourse from, you know, riding the bike with a helmet, wearing a seatbelt in a car, and making sure that your data is secure online, and all of the other related topics that we talk about at Girl Security, and Kyla through Bits and Bytes talks about, you know, broadly through her work as well. And so those are, you know, between Girl Security and Bits and Bytes, there's a wonderful set of resources. And then I think there's just kind of the general digital safety tools that are required as well. Because I do think a challenge in the United States remains that children are given technology at a very young age. I mean, my boy is 7 and his class gave him a computer and no one talked about cybersecurity.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
So I think there is just this general need to elevate the idea of security, especially in the digital domain, to a broader level of discourse.
And so Lauren, as we start to wrap up, is there anything else that you would like our listeners to know?
I think it's important for listeners to know that Girl Security's emphasis is to really ensure by the end of our time, however long we have this wonderful run, that every girl in the United States, as well as other nations, has an active role to play in security. And I also feel like it's important to note that it's not just women who are underrepresented, it's women of color, people of color, LGBTQ+. And so Girl Security is contributing to part of the discourse, but there are also wonderful organizations doing other work, some in partnership with Girl Security and others independently. And so I would just encourage anyone to be curious about the importance of inclusion in national security and what that means for the future of our national security as well.
Great. Well, Lauren, thank you so much for joining us. This was a really fantastic conversation.
Oh, thank you for inviting me. I appreciate it.
Our pleasure. I'm Hillary McClure, Multimedia Director at Cybercrime Magazine. Joining me today was Lauren Bean Buta, founder and CEO of Girl Security. To learn more about Girl Security, visit girlsecurity.com. And you can listen to all of our podcast episodes at cybercrime.radio.